Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This hour is brought to you by Beard Guys. Purchase today your local Meijer or Walgreens. Time to talk to Mike Florio. You find him on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We are doing really well. Obviously, you know, because of what's happened here in Chicago, we have interest in Justin Fields, and we know that you know a lot about what's going on with the Steelers. It was interesting hearing Mike Tomlin over the last couple of days really talk about what he likes about Fields. I imagine it's going to be an uphill battle for him, though, to supplant what they already have in Russ.
Well, right, but it's not impossible. There's a reason that Justin Fields specifically wanted to go to Pittsburgh. He sees an opportunity to eventually become the starter there, whether it happens during this year, whether it happens in 2025. Why go to Philadelphia and be stuck behind Jalen Hurts when Hurts has already been anointed as the long-term answer? Even if you're objectively better than or perform at a higher level than Jalen Hurts, they're not going to bench Jalen Hurts. In Pittsburgh, they could get away with telling Russell Wilson, you're going to take a seat while we see what this guy who has performed better than you does. And, you know, I saw somebody suggest recently that maybe the Steelers would ultimately cut Russell Wilson before the season even starts. Why do that? You got a backup at $1.2 million. If Justin Fields would beat him out this year, he could get injured. Russell Wilson plays. I mean, this is just a great opportunity for Fields to prove to the Steelers that he could be the guy beyond 2024. And I think the Steelers understand that possibility exists.
I also think that in this case, we still also have to ask a pretty obvious question here. Is what you saw in Denver a mirage, or is that Russell Wilson's decline?
Well, we're going to find out this year, and this is a pivotal year for Russell Wilson. The issue last year and the year before, but really with Sean Payton, it's getting the plays called, getting the plays communicated, getting to the line of scrimmage, seeing what needs to be adjusted pre-snap, if anything. You never see a lot of that from Russell Wilson. When he says, let Russ cook, or when those who support him say it, it's more about what he does when the ball's in his hands. Once it's in his hands, he can do some special things. But Sean Payton's offense is premised upon doing the things that need to be done, because he's determined if you do those things, it's going to work. We're going to move the ball. We're going to score points. We're going to win games. Now, in Pittsburgh, if they allow Russ to do the things that made him great in Seattle, so be it. But this really is critical for him. I compare him to Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner was great early in his career. Then things went sideways with the Rams. He went to the Giants, was benched eventually for Eli Manning his rookie year, ended up in Arizona, worked his way up to the top of the depth chart, had that great second act that cemented his Hall of Fame credentials. Russell Wilson needs to get his career back on track this year, or Canton might not happen for him. This is his opportunity to come back and show that he can play at a high level and can lead a team to success and once again be a guy that we regard as a top five quarterback. And if he doesn't, he might not make it into that room with all the busts of the NFL's immortals.
If he retired after the Seattle career was done, if he hadn't asked for the trade, if he hadn't gone to Denver, do you think people would be saying that?
I think potentially he gets in eventually, maybe not first ballot, maybe not drop the mic in the presentation and everybody knows he's in, but I think eventually he gets in. If you have those final years of your career that take away from what you did, I mean, Eli Manning was at risk of this. If he had continued to hang around and put bad years, and we don't know that he's getting in, but his later years of his career will be an anchor that maybe weighs down his candidacy. So yeah, these last 2 years hurt Russell Wilson. And what happens this year, next year, the year after? He's going to be 36 in November. So how many years does he have left? He said he wants to play until he's 45. That's easy to say when you're a starter. Is he going to hang around until he's 45 if he's a backup? That remains to be seen.
Mike, the rules that have changed, we've now gone through the initial news cycle and then the news cycle in response, because it may take some of the unintended consequences and take those into account as we hear about the new convoluted and fun kickoff rules and the idea of outlawing the hip drop swivel tackle. What do we know in this phase now about how people around the league are responding to these pretty serious changes?
Well, first of all, one thing that we know, and I think it gets more and more true every year, whatever Roger Goodell wants, Roger Goodell gets. And they didn't even bother to go through the facade of kicking these until May so they could twist enough arms to make it happen then. They wanted the kickoff rule to be passed now, and there's a good strategic reason for it. You need to factor this new reality into your draft plans, and that's only 4 weeks and one day away. Return specialists have a higher premium. Players who you think will be good in this new reality for kickoff coverage where it's all compacted together. You need maybe more linebackers who can shoot the gap and get to the ball carrier before he busts a long run. So there are reasons to know what it's going to be now. But, you know, you mentioned potential unintended consequences. There isn't anything they're going to be able to do about this until after the year. Once the season starts, it's like a roller coaster ride. You're in. You're strapped in. You're riding it out. They don't change rules during the season because they realize, oh, no, we didn't expect this would happen. It's something to be taken up next year. And this is a one-year rule. So you can get to next year. You've already got three teams that were against it. It only takes six more to scrap the whole thing. So if they think there are tweaks that need to be made and you've got a camp that wants to do this, you got a camp that wants to do that, they may not be able to get to 24 next year to continue this. So this really is an experiment. And the question is, will it go the way, and this is a dated reference, but I'm going with it anyway, of Peter Brady's volcano? That remains to be seen.
I also want to find out what John Mara was discussing when he talked about twisting arms. You know the quote better than I, but they had...
Oh, absolutely.
So they had 20-some votes, and then all of a sudden they end up with 29. I'm kind of fixated on the quid pro quo. Like, if they got what they needed, you say Goodell gets what he wants, anybody who changed their vote is going to be waiting to get something in return. What is that?
Well, that happened last year with the Thursday night Flex proposal. There was very strong opposition to it, and John Mara was among the opponents of the Thursday night Flex. He thought it was disrespectful to the fans. Between March and May, they twisted arms. And there was a thought last year that they retaliated against the people who were opposed to it by giving them multiple Thursday night games after a Monday game. The Bears were one of the ones that the belief was they got the short end of the stick from the league, because how dare you go against what the commissioner wants? So they got to their votes to get the Thursday night flex. And yeah, what Mara said was, Maybe we'll vote again tomorrow after we twist some arms tonight, which implies they took at least a straw vote and realized we don't have 24. We need to work on some people. And I think it's significant that three teams did not ultimately say, we'll just cry uncle here and let it be unanimous and have a united front for this revolutionary change to the rules. This is the biggest change to the rules in years. At a minimum, it's the biggest change since they moved the point after touchdown from the 2 to the 15, or since they embraced the two-point conversion in 1994, which they had resisted for years. I mean, this is a dramatic change to the entire configuration of the kickoff, and it's aimed at taking a play that was largely dead and creating a situation where you're going to have returns all the time instead of no returns for a game like we saw in Super Bowl 58, zero in 13 kickoffs. They want every kick to be returned now. And I can't think of another change that has been as significant and dramatic as this one's going to be.
Mike, how closely is the NFL monitoring the big stories that are involving the NBA in a gambling situation and maybe MLB in a gambling situation? We know that the NFL has had their own issues with gambling. So what are people around the league saying and how worried are they?
Well, I think they're concerned, but they're not nearly concerned enough because they're not being as proactive as they need to be. They think it's sufficient to periodically whack a guy who, you know, God forbid, walked inside the facility and then placed a wager on March Madness. You can do it out on the street and you're fine. You walk inside the front doors to the lobby and it's a threat to the integrity of the game, which makes absolutely no sense. But that's what happens when you abandon all moral authority, get in bed literally with the sports books, because owners can hold up to 5% equity in a company that runs sports book operations. That's the dirty little secret of the NFL's relationship with gambling. It's not the sponsorship money. It's owners holding equity in companies that run sports books. That makes it harder to say thou shalt not to the players. With Ohtani in baseball, I guarantee you that there are players in every sport who have friends or family members who are doing their gambling for them, and they're backing it financially. Ohtani got caught because if we don't know what the truth is, but if it's true, potentially that he was the one actually placing the bets and backing the bets that his interpreter made, I would suspect that's already happening in the NFL, and players aren't thinking twice about it. With the situation in the NBA, these under bets, these prop bets, they need to go. Because look at the control that one player has over his own prop bets. And that's what happened with Jalen Porter, the Toronto Raptors.
Well, the NCAA wants him out too. As of this morning, I believe there was just a letter that was sent saying that the NCAA wants all individual prop bets banned.
There are states that have already prevented them. That is the easiest way to corrupt a person. One person can only do so much when it comes to the outcome of a money line wager for the outcome of a game or a spread bet. But when you get individual prop bets, all you have to do is early in the game, I'm hurt. The old Rodney Dangerfield, ooh, my arm, it's broken. I can't play. And all the unders hit. And with Porter, there was heavy action on the unders in two games where he left early. And that's fishy. And the NFL needs to be concerned about that, because that is something we saw with Bijan Robinson week 7 against the Buccaneers, the Falcons rookie, hardly played. He had an illness that wasn't disclosed in advance of the game. And the Falcons eventually got fined a total of $100,000 between the coach and the organization. But that's the kind of thing that can happen. And I just don't feel like the NFL is nearly as worried as it should be about how this can affect the game. One big scandal, and I predict there'll be a federal agency that has full oversight of professional sports to ensure that there is true integrity, not just to the games, but integrity of all the wagers on the games.
And somewhat related to that, Mike, I'm here to bang the drum until there are no more drums in the world, that officiating has to be examined in a more efficient manner than what's been happening in the NFL recently. And I'm surprised that it hasn't come up at the owners' meetings. I understand the kickoff change is big, but I also know that it's a good way to keep people from talking about the thing that was most discussed among fans the entire season. You could argue the biggest story of the NFL last year was the inconsistent refereeing. And we all know it makes more of a difference now than ever. So at what point is that going to be discussed further, you think, during the arc of this offseason?
Well, I hope it continues to be discussed. I know there is a push by some in league circles to have full-time officials. The NFL is gradually expanding the embrace of the sky judge concept, where the replay assistant has the ability to fix mistakes that the officials on the field make. The biggest thing the NFL needs to do is bridge the gap between what the officials, who are simply trying to not get trampled by the gladiators, see in real time with the naked eye, and what the rest of us see at home in high definition without having to worry about somebody running over us while we're looking at what it is. You put somebody in a position to see what we see at home and to help in real time with the calls on the field. And they've added the ability for the replay assistant to help with objective aspects of roughing the passer and intentional grounding. For example, if it's clear that there was no blow to the head of the quarterback, when the ruling on the field is that there was a blow to the head of the quarterback, pick the flag up. It's not a foul. That's where they're moving. And I'm fine with it as long as they get it right. But I believe they need to have full-time officials, full access to these officials, no distractions, no second jobs or primary jobs, as the case may be. You've got these folks 12 months out of the year. You're meeting on Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the season to go over all the calls that are made and not made. So there's true continuity among the 17 crews. They need to do that. And until they do it, we won't be under the impression that the league is doing everything it can to get all the calls right. That's where they need to get. You're never going to get all the calls right. You can create the impression you're doing everything you can to get all the calls right.
Amen. We'll repeat it all day, Mike. I'm here for it all off season. I don't care.
Mike, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Great talking to you. Have a good week.
That's Mike Florio. He joins us weekly. Next up, baseball season has arrived because it is the first official appearance for the Cubs' Ian Happ on
Yay!
Our show next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. You obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Deep drive to right. Back to the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Ian Happ.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
Really solid at bat there.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Dives and makes a great catch in left center field. Ian Happ with a sensational diving catch.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I was thinking about this today. We haven't opened up on the road in a sneaky long time. I can't remember where we were supposed to open in 20, but since then, every year we've opened in Chicago. And so this is a little different for me. I'm trying to figure it all out again. It's like, I thought we should now open in Chicago every year.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day. He's got an insatiable thirst for coffee.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
starting to feel like baseball, and having Ian Happ on helps to that end as well. He is on Twitter at @IHAP_1. The Cubs Gold Glove outfielder is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Ian, how are you? How's the hamstring?
I am good. We're in Texas and going over to the ballpark for a workout soon. Hamstring's feeling good. It was a longer process than I wanted, but that's what spring training's for, and I was able to get to a good place.
When you have an injury like that, like, do you start obsessing about, like, well, wait, am I eating right? Am I training right? Do I need to change things up?
I haven't had, I've been lucky in my career and haven't had soft tissue stuff. So, you know, very new for me, something that, you know, I haven't had to deal with. Haven't had to deal with that rehab process and what that looks like. You know, everything that I've had in my career is something that, you know, it's going to hurt, but you can push through it and it's not going to get way worse. And this isn't that, you know, it's something that if you push through it, if you come back too early, if you exert too much effort, you're going to make it worse and you're going to set yourself back. So, you know, lucky to do it during spring training. And the process in spring training is a lot different than what you would do during the season, right? During the season, you're pushing to get back, you're pushing to be out on the field. So it's, you know, you can play at X percent and still be productive for the team. This was something that's like, all right, let's make sure that we don't do anything to put us in a position to re-aggravate it, and making sure that we, like, were really, really slow going through the process. So, you know, a lot of, like, Arizona hydration, like, different types of things, of a lot of new workouts and new movements and activating different parts of the lower half. Like, all of that was really important. And it was a process for sure.
Well, we got to make sure the leadoff hitter is okay before the first game of the season. How did that conversation go, where you found out that you were going to be batting leadoff this year, at least to start this year?
Yeah, it was a conversation early with Counts that was kind of like, hey, how do you feel about this? You know, I think this makes sense for the group and, you know, for my skill set, and something that, you know, obviously I've done in the past and different years on different teams. And I think with, you know, with our group, with the way, say, Belly, Varell, like, getting on base for those guys makes a lot of sense. And I know in Milwaukee, you know, Counts had Yelich lead off for a couple of years there, and kind of what that looked like and how that turns the lineup over. So, you know, for me, it was, hey, whatever works for our group and gives us the best chance to score runs is what I want to do, and happy to embrace it.
Well, that's one of the things I've always enjoyed about you coming on regularly is you let us know about, like, for example, the importance of having a regular spot in a lineup and what that can do for you as a player, or the mindset behind certain concepts day to day, you know. And for me, I've asked you about your place in the lineup before, sure, but is there anything different for you being a leadoff hitter mentality-wise, or something that you take that says, okay, this is how I have to be in this? Rizzo obviously embraced it with humor, you know, but I do think people have an opinion about that spot in particular.
Yeah, it's definitely different just because of how frequently you're coming up. It's different because you are you are getting the first look at that pitcher, and balancing, you know, how much are you swinging at the first pitch of the game? How much are you trying to work deep into Counts? You know, for me, in my experience doing it, you have to just have your normal at bat, and my normal at bat lends itself to that position. And so it's not changing who I am or what I do. It's continuing to do the things that I'm good at and letting that play in that spot. You know, some of the things that you do have to get used to, you know, for me, not doing it for the last few years is at home, making sure that, like, you are that first, you're taking that first at bat in the bottom of the first, it's getting in from left field, it's having your stuff ready to go so you're not rushed, especially, I've never done it with the pitch clock, you know, and so, like, that's an adjustment of, hey, your elbow guard and your batting gloves and, like, your bat, make sure there's enough pine tar on it so that you're not, like, those seconds are valuable, and so you're taking an extra 10 seconds to do something, that's taking you away from seeing the pitcher, getting your swings in on deck, like, feeling really prepared. And so it's a balance of all that stuff. And you are hitting, you know, instead of in the three hole, you know, you're going to hit in the first, you're probably going to hit in the third or the fourth. You know, if when you're leading off, it's, you're hitting in the first, you're hitting in the third, you're hitting in the fifth, you know, and if you guys are rolling, you know, you're hitting in the first, the second, the fourth, the sixth. Like it comes up. You're always having your stuff on. You're always having your batting gloves on and ready to hit. And you don't get that, you know, first or second inning to kind of relax into the game. So it's from a mental standpoint, you know, getting used to all that stuff, embracing that, understanding that it is going to be a little bit different, and that's okay.
There's a great piece at northsidebaseball.com. I think I emailed it to you. I don't know if you saw it. Matthew Trueblood did a breakdown of your approach as a left-handed hitter and the evolution of it over the last 3 years. And he wrote, looking at your heat maps and all your charting, this is one of the best baseball analysts out there. He said, it's beneficial to be more patient when behind in the count because pitchers start hunting the chase for a strikeout. He said, conventional wisdom tells hitters to protect the plate, but Ian Happ has found success by zeroing in more than ever on areas of the zone in which he could do damage and letting others go. There's an increased ball rate over time. He says, Happ didn't just produce more when ending plate appearances behind in the count. He got back into good counts more by being more selective, diligent about using scouting reports. Is that dead on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, those counts and going from like 0-2 to 3-2 and how valuable that can be. I think that we're definitely at a place in this game where guys are throwing you their nastiest stuff kind of from the jump, and they are, guys do chase strikeouts, they have nasty secondary stuff, they have, you know, pitches to get you to chase out of the zone. Understanding like what guys go to in those certain counts, like what they're going to do to try to get you out, whether that's chase above, you know, chase under with a changeup or a breaking ball. And so, you know, having an understanding for that, knowing, I think over the course of the last few years, like my ability to at least touch the high heater and foul it off is something that has let me get deeper into counts and back into counts from kind of 0-2, 1-2 spots. And just my confidence that I can get back in that, and that you don't have to do damage on a fastball at your neck. You just have to touch it to get to the next pitch. And so kind of always trying to get to the next pitch and understanding that there are ways to get back into an at bat without having to, you know, hit something in the gap.
With a full spring training under your belt, what have you learned about Craig Counsell?
He's just consistent. He's super consistent. He's seen a ton. He's obviously, you know, a very experienced manager that doesn't get too high or too low on like little stuff. He really trusts his coaches and understands that like this is a process and there's a lot of baseball to be played. And so, you know, kind of his consistency and willingness to trust the people around him is just pretty impressive. And it's something that I think for us as a group, that consistency at the top, you know, calms everybody down.
I have to ask this as an observer of baseball, Craig Counsell's swing is pretty notable. Have you ever talked to him about this?
I haven't. I'm sure a lot of people, that's the first question. I haven't talked to him about it. Talked to him a little bit about like bouncing around, playing multiple infield positions, like his career in that way. But not a bunch about the swing specifically.
Because the more I look at it, the more I'm wondering how he got power out of that.
That maybe I'll ask him today. You know, how did that come to be? I think there's been some, you know, some unique stances in the game, and he's at the top of the list.
So let me ask, what is the most interesting baseball conversation, maybe unexpected baseball conversation you've had with Craig Counsell, and what has been the most interesting non-baseball conversation you've had with him so far?
That's a good question. I think the most interesting, you know, it's somewhat baseball, but yeah, his kids play, his sons play in college, and I think that's a pretty cool, you know, thing for him to be able to experience with them. I think that's been fun to just, you know, how much he enjoys that. He is definitely a baseball rat, and for him to be able to have some sons that are playing in college is pretty cool. And kind of like Midwest, you know, Big Ten type of players, which I was, you know, in that, you know, kind of same, got recruited by a lot of the same schools and area. So I can definitely relate to that. But the you know, baseball stuff, he is, you know, he's a baseball rat, and he, you know, he really enjoys the process of it, I think, and that, you know, this isn't a 162, you know, single seasons. It's 162 games that form up one season, and kind of what that means, and that, you know, you have to stay with some of these process-oriented things that get you through the season. It's not overreacting to one specific thing. It's building kind of a full resume and kind of what that means over the course of a season.
What was it like when you guys found out that Belly was coming back?
It was awesome. I mean, I think we all knew how important he was to our group. We knew how much he enjoyed playing in Chicago and being a part of it. And, you know, he went through his process, and free agency is not an easy thing. I think everybody, it's something that you earn in this game to play long enough to get to free agency. And it's not an easy process. And so when he was finally able to make the decision and be back in the locker room, I think he was in the locker room within 24 hours in Arizona. He lives out there, but he was there, and to be able to see him and have him get back into the lineup, it was just great. And he gives us so much versatility from center field, outfield, first base. I think he's going to hit in the three hole all year for us, and his ability to produce against righties and lefties just makes us a much better team.
So let me ask Ian Happ, union rep, not Ian Happ necessarily Cubs teammate, about these deals that the Boris Four all took their lumps. You know, that Boris, really, the shine is kind of off a lot of what he's done before, where he seems like the teams forced the Boris clients to incur a lot more risk than they initially thought that they would have to incur. How do you feel from a Players Association perspective on how successful it seems the teams were in keeping a united front, to say the least?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting free agent market, interesting class. I think, the shorter term higher AAV deals are, for some guys they make a bunch of sense. For teams they almost always make sense because it's less risk and the back end of contracts is what teams don't like to commit to. And so, for those guys, you hope that a bunch of them can go. There's a lot of opt outs there, so you hope that guys can go out and have great years again and be looking at more long term and guaranteed. It's an interesting case study for just like how teams will operate moving forward and kind of what that means for the general market.
Congratulations are in order for you guys, Zach Short, huh?
Yeah, awesome at Shorty's. Going to be on the opening day roster with the Mets. He's worked really hard. I think me and Dakota and people close to him have seen it for a long time. He's always had the ability to play at the major league level. And for him to go into a camp wearing number 74, being a guy who was kind of backing up and playing in a bunch of these games, and to prove that he's a valuable member to that team, his ability to play multiple defensive positions, the glove has always been there. And he did a lot of work this offseason to kind of put himself in a confident position to go swing the bat and made an impact this spring. So happy for him. Team he grew up watching, family will be there in New York to watch the opening day. And we talked about this on the podcast a bunch. It's opening days are special. To be on an opening day roster, to have your name announced and have it be, still congratulating Jan and Drew Smiley on, I think this is their 12th or 13th opening day. Like, that stuff is super special. And for him to get to experience that, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, Hap Crew has had a big offseason, man. Of course, Zach Short, congratulations to you and Julie on getting married. The videos looked awesome. And also, I know you've been busy with Connect, too. I feel like Connect is hustling right now.
Yeah, definitely. We've opened the coffee shop in Bourbonnais, which has been awesome to see people come through the cafe and read Google reviews and the excitement around that. I'm excited to get back to Chicago next week and I'll get down there at some point to see how everything's been progressing. And we had the coffee in the clubhouse all spring. Obviously, we'll have it back in Chicago. And the Home Run Club is at the highest number totals we've ever had. So the support's been fantastic. And we just appreciate everybody so much for their willingness to try good coffee and share it with us.
Something tells me Monday, 110 game, we'll need some coffee. I think that might be my move.
Definitely need to be caffeinated. The boys will be getting back from Texas late, and we'll be right back at Wrigley Field for those special, 120 weekday games.
Yeah, let's. Here's hoping the weather cooperates for Monday, and here is to another season of success and good health, Ian. Look forward to talking to you regularly.
Thanks so much, guys.
That is Ian Happ of your Chicago Cubs, and next up we have High Noon. I have a story that is absolutely true and sounds like it's made up, and it was terrifying until it wasn't.
I've got gambling.
Gambling.
Also me, but just not terrifying. It's just incredibly Philly.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
We love Wednesday High Noon because that means that it's downhill into the end of your work week from here.
Yeah.
The weekend coming, even for those of us who are working this weekend. So it certainly changes the math, but all good. We talked about the Bears and their aversion to...
Are you working this weekend? That was a cliffhanger.
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what you're doing?
I am going to be the color analyst for NBC Sports Chicago's broadcast of the Windy City Bulls' final home game against the Wisconsin Herd.
Outstanding! Welcome to the family. Lawrence and I are members.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And being able to, I don't know if I get a telestrator, but if I got one, watch out.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to telestrate the hell out of everything.
And All who are you with?
I am with Sam Brief, who has been doing a lot of work for them. He's Chicago Dogs. He's done some stuff. He was WNUR at Northwestern. He did like Australian Basketball League, I believe.
What time is the game?
I believe it's a 7 o'clock start.
On NBC Sports Chicago.
Yep.
Yay!
Yep, I'm in for Mark Schanowski, who's good. He's got ABC 7 responsibilities that night. So it's going to be a great time.
Studs, hit the thing. It's Would you guys like to hear a gambling story that's not going to get people in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Cedric the Entertainer.
It was along for the ride, without a doubt. It was not the same. You know, and the thing was is that I was gambling with Charles, and he was like gambling maybe $10,000 a hand. Michael came in and just grabbed a bunch of chips. Mm-hmm. And then and Charles was like, yo, man, how much is that? And he was like, does it matter? I got you. Basically, you know I got you, bro.
As long as he owes you money, you'll never go broke. Yeah. You'll never go broke.
Was your heart palpitating, though, the whole time?
They were betting $10,000. I was betting $10. I was like, oh, Charles. Whatever Charles bet, I go like, okay, and put my $10 on.
Would you ever try to keep up with guys like that? You know, sometimes ego can get in. Like, I mean, would you ever try to keep up?
I said this one time about, you know, because Mike liked to gamble on everything. So playing golf with him, he was like, yo, man, just anything you want to do. Like, I don't care, you know. So I'm trying to at least sound reasonable, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm thinking, all right, well, 1,000 a hole, you know. Didn't realize it's 18 holes. I didn't win one. I didn't win one hole. $18,000. I didn't do the math in my head. I was trying to sound like I was a part of the situation.
That was Cedric the Entertainer on The Talk discussing gambling with Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. I always like Tiger's take. Whatever makes you nervous, that's what I want to bet.
Apparently for me, that's a box of club crackers at the Jewel now on sale.
You're damn right.
You guys remember the story about the person who escaped from a Western Pennsylvania prison? And it was pretty epic and they couldn't find him forever. He turned up.
At a Sheetz?
Turn up!
No. Oh. So let's just set the scene for you. I lived close to the intersection of Aramingo and 95 in Philly. Or
so
as
a Wawa,
the locals would call
it.
There is a Wawa there. Okay, there's a huge Wawa. It's called Aramingo. That's also the site where the tanker fire ended up causing 95 to collapse, which obviously
that's right.
made me remember that after what happened in Baltimore two nights ago. I posted a really good article from NBC News on that on my Twitter if anybody wants it for reference. So I always thought that this was a pretty happening little spot, this Aramingo at 95. There was also a Planet Fitness there I used to work out at where the old gentleman in the club couldn't be bothered with being at a gym and walking 50 extra steps to the locker room. They would just take their shirts off right there. It was quite the lunk alarm fest.
I was going to say, nice hit guy the once, lunk alarm.
Yeah, a nice guy once hit on me on a napkin once when I thought I was in his way stretching. Life happened at this Planet Fitness. So when I saw the headline, escaped Pennsylvania inmate Isaiah Tillman arrested outside Philadelphia gym, U.S. Marshals say, I was like, oh, wonder if it's that Planet Fitness. It was.
Get out of here.
He escapes prison successfully, gets out of Pennsylvania or gets out of Western Pennsylvania, and the place you go is the Planet Fitness on Aramingo? What the hell are you doing? Why'd you just stand in front of on Broad Street in the middle of all the parked cars and tell the cops where to find you? That's where he was spotted. He was at a Planet Fitness months later. That dude could have been in Mexico. He decides to go to the one Planet.
Could have easily been in Canada.
He goes to the one Planet Fitness that everybody goes to after he escapes prison.
That's
you deserve
amazing.
To go back to jail, man.
If and he wanted to.
Also, like, people were on the lookout for him. They watched the news in Philly. And so that's where he was spotted, was at the silly Planet Fitness.
Can you imagine
that
getting the call?
That contained my life.
Like, getting the call of, like, listen, I'm at a Planet Fitness. I know this is going to sound weird, but that guy that escaped from prison, I think he's doing leg press right now.
They also had free pizza, so what do you bet that was a draw?
Well, free pizza.
I mean, I'm telling you, that Planet Fitness is happening.
As long as it's not tomato pie.
I love tomato pie.
Had a bit of a saga yesterday. I had just gotten off the phone later in the afternoon with the Scores Afternoon show because they were being wankers yesterday.
It's not what you called them on the air.
No, it's not. They earned every bit of it, too, jerks. So
you called me, bitch.
So I get off the air, and I resumed my workout, and then I looked down at my left hand, and I said, oh, my God, my wedding band is gone. Where the hell's my wedding band? Now, the truth is, I was kind of larger than I am now when it was sized before I got married 25 years ago. And I just thought, oh, God, the irony here of it. We just celebrated our 25th, and now I can't find the wedding band. And it has come off before. It came off in the garage once, and I heard it clink, and I went and I found it. So, of course I retraced my steps, and I said, oh, honey, I can't find my wedding band. And she's like, well, it's not going to make us any less married, but it would be nice if you could find it. And I looked everywhere. I said, oh, wait, I know exactly where it is. I stopped after work before I went shopping at Mariano's. I stopped. I went to Belmont Harbor, and I was going to fish, and then it started raining, so I quit fishing. And I had put on these waterproof gloves that I wear when it's cold and might be wet, and I remembered snapping the gloves off as I was getting into the car. I'm like, oh, it's got to be in the glove. I walk out to the car in the garage. Like, it's got to be there. It's not. And I'm checking all around the house where it might have come off of the rugs where we didn't hear it or this.
Do you take your ring off to like?
Never, never.
Oh, so you don't like to shower,
never, never,
wash
never,
your hands?
Never.
Like,
the only time I would take it off is
to lift?
No, never. When I'm going fishing, like when I was in Cabo in the Sea of Cortez and I'm fishing, I took it off because I don't want to lose it at the bottom of the ocean. And I mean,
need to get it resized. It's loose.
I've lost it swimming before. So I thought, oh no, when I took the glove off, maybe it came off my hand and it was raining and I was hurried to get in the car. So I drove immediately, got right in the car. I drove back down Irving Park. I drove to the clock tower off of Recreation Drive there at Irving Park. Same parking spot right by the tennis courts. And it's dusk and I'm on my hands and knees on the cold concrete going through mud and garbage and looking under cars. There's a guy who was sitting in his car. I explained to him, I said, would you do me a huge favor? Do you mind backing up and shining your headlights here? He's like, no, of course. I said, I lost my wedding band. A good 20 minutes of literally crawling around the parking lot at Belmont Harbor near Marvitt's golf course there. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Cannot find it. I'm like, damn it. So I figure, all right, I got to call Mariano's. It could be anywhere in Mariano's. Anywhere. It could have fallen off in the produce section anywhere. So I'm sort of crafting. I'm going to go there. I'm going to say, hey, if it turns up, it's got an engraving of the date on the inside. This is, it's just a platinum wedding band. So I have all this going through my head. I find whatever. And I tried to compartmentalize it. And I get home. And I had to tell Jason, because when Jason was five and I lost my wedding band, he started crying because he thought it meant we weren't married anymore.
He's right.
It was kind of cute. So
Plot twist.
All right. And then, of course, I get the text from Beth and Jason, like, hey, make us dinner. You said you were going to make soup. And I had promised them I was going to make them my Tuscan white cannellini bean bacon escarole soup.
Yum.
And I get everything out. I get my whole mise en place, and I'm getting everything together. And I take out the bag of escarole, and I open the bag of escarole, and I dump out the head of escarole, and clink, 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 right on the cutting board is my wedding.
Get out of here.
When I had put the escarole in the produce bag, and as I pulled my hand out to tie the knot, it must have come off.
Because, it's a Christmas miracle.
Because it was wet. Because, you know, they spray everything, and there it was. My wedding band right there on the cutting board as I started to make their dinner.
Will you get it resized? Because you're going to be dealing with this constantly.
Yeah, you need to. I mean, it looks like it's going to fly off now,
yeah,
Dan. Look at all that space.
I know. And then he's like, well, I never got it sized.
Or you got to start wearing it around your neck.
Or I just got to get fat again.
I mean, also a possibility.
We can help with that.
Yeah. Or just wear it as a chain. Like, you know, you got a platinum ring, get a platinum chain.
It's platinum, and you just roll around with it like that willy-nilly? The hell are you doing, Dan?
I don't want to do it. It's just a wedding band. It's
not just a wedding band. You just spent 20 minutes. Well, not 20. You just spent 10 minutes explaining its importance. So I highly suggest you get it resized.
Fine. God, I will.
It's trying to escape your body.
I know it is. It's trying to tell me something.
We need to escape to a break. And when we come back, Ryan Poles wants to push back on something that is expert said about the quarterbacking at the Bears and what Dan said. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.